We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network. Work.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
The one they call Ben is currently not here, but he assures us he's on a secret mission and he will be returning soon. And maybe one day we will find out what that mission is. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis codename Doc Holliday Jackson, who is here on the ones and twos and threes with some awesome nails, which you should see.
I was just about to ask what the three was, and I guess it's the awesome nails.
Yep. you are here, and that makes this stuff they don't want you to know. I've got to put out a call for this. If you think you know what Ben's secret mission is, we want to hear from you. So right now, reach out to us, maybe to him on social media. You can look up Ben Bolin on all the social medias. You will find him. Let's figure out what his secret mission is together. Let's do it.
Your guess is truly as good as ours, and I love that. I feel grateful for that, honestly.
Exactly. So mysterious. Okay.
We're going to do some listener mail. We've got two kind of beefy ones that I heard that you heard from a listener that responded to something that we talked about pretty recently.
Yes. Brown-Eyed Girl is the person we're going to be hearing from. And Brown-Eyed Girl wrote to us via email, conspiracy@iheartradio.com. You can write us too. Brown-Eyed Girl says, I was delighted that someone took an interest in the changing propaganda laws stateside. Interesting to use the phrase stateside. Maybe they don't live in the United States. I'm not sure. When I first found out about the fact that U.S. was sending propaganda across the world, I was shocked, as any little patriot would be. Then, a decade ago, when the gloves were taken off and American citizens were treated like anyone else on the world stage, I realized that maybe what I was learning in school might not be correct, accurate, or truthful. One of the groups you talked about was Voice of America, or VOA, which was a Central Intelligence Agency-funded radio channel, which was meant to change the hearts and minds of anyone from Portugal to Peru. VOA has a current budget of nearly $250 million and broadcasts in 47 languages. This instrument of Uncle Sam is not my reason for writing. I write because of its leadership under Ronald Reagan. Dick Carlson, father of, callback to Strange News episode from this week, Tucker Carlson, was the director of VOA during the Reagan administration and later became the CEO of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the folks who bring you PBS.
Wait a minute, but I thought that Carlson was also heir to the, like, Swanson's food family fortune. Was he also the head of the Swanson's food family fortune?
I know nothing. I am just reading what Brown Eyed Girl said.
Okay. Sorry. Carry on.
Brown Eyed Girl continues. Years later, Dick's son Tucker would be rejected from joining the CIA. I have not confirmed this. I do not know if this is correct. When lost with no direction after being turned down, his father told him, quote, any idiot could go into broadcasting. Oh, ouch. That stings. And that is where Tucker Carlson, the shock jock of cable television, came from. My personal thought is that maybe talking heads like Tucky, okay, interesting, are actually working for the same employer his father had, i.e. the CIA. But rather than promoting coups in Albania and the fall of the Soviet Union, the cable news crowd might be dividing America against one another to distract us from the bigger issues at play. It would not be hard, quote, any idiot could do it.
Sorry, real quick. It was Tucker Carlson's mother, Patricia Caroline Swanson, who is an heiress to the Swanson Enterprises. So he's got big influential folks on both the mom and the dad side.
Nothing like a Swanson's family dinner. Is that a thing? I can't remember.
Yeah, they got those good pot pies. You know, the Swanson's turkey pot pies are pretty good.
Here's where it gets crazy within Brown Eyed Girl's email. My conspiracy is that the divide in America is being exploited by the powers that be to keep the public occupied with identity politics rather than noticing we are all Americans and we are all getting our pockets picked by the same predatory peckerheads. Uh-oh. Ooh, whoa, strong language there. Returning, if you go through the career of Tucker Carlson, his whole career is simply being divisive. From his time in print media to CNN's Crossfire, where they had a conservative Tucker argue night in and night out with Chris Matthews, to his Fox News show, where there is no substance to his arguments, just devil's advocacy and twisted statistics and fear-mongering. What if this is just what his father did, only for a new audience? What if all the arguments we are having as a nation are just the government throwing up smoke screens so we do not notice the real things going on in the background? Just a thought. If you ever want a crazy read, just look at Dick Carlson's biography online. One hell of a ride. Best regards, Brown Eyed Girl.
Well, I mean, I've always felt pretty confident that we're getting equal amounts of bullshit from the left and the right when it comes to certain levels of government. And that a lot of the rhetoric and things that get, you know, assigned kind of pet projects and sort of the more emotional issues, those are all smoke screens, even if they're good ones that, like, are, you know, ultimately things that are positive or whatever. I think they're smoke screens as well in that context. So I, you know, being a politician requires a lot of smoke screens and a lot of, like, general kind of appeal, you know, and also sometimes that can be found with divisiveness. So I think it's a pretty good point. I don't know.
It feels like an odd thing to come to terms with in my mind, at least, and perhaps in yours too, thinking about the mission of someone who is both a spy of some sorts and a broadcaster who has a big stage, right? That's a weird concept because
I missed the spy part. So is the sense here that the Tucker Carlson's father, who was the head of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, was acting on behalf of some other government? I'm sorry if I spaced on that part.
Oh, that's okay. The point was that Voice of America was funded at least in part by the Central Intelligence Agency. Because it is a propaganda effort, right?
Okay, so it's our spies trying to divide in a way that is beneficial to certain operations and, you know, ideologies, perhaps.
Yes.
Got it.
And the connection there from the VOA and the CIA to public broadcasting is Dick Carlson, because he was running the VOA and then became CEO of
Public broadcasting, right?
So, okay.
Thank you for the clarification. Look, Tucker Carlson, you can look at his career, and he pushed boundaries as far as was acceptable at the time, and then pushed him a little farther and got a little more popular, and then pushed him a little farther and then a little farther. He's very much like an Alex Jones kind of figure in that respect, where he started sort of being performatively obnoxious and then gradually started ramping up his rhetoric to the point of like this fever pitch where it could be interpreted as like dangerous fear mongering, you know, at some point.
Yeah. And in the end, because of the nature of the business that he's in, Tucker is beholden to the people who run the channels with one paramount mission: get viewers.
Oh, yeah.
Get as many viewers as you can. Get them Whatever to watch our necessary. Advertising. Do yeah. what you got
to
do.
We also know that a lot of big corporations give to both political parties equally in some ways, because it's all about control and it's all about like doing whatever they can to get viewers. So sometimes when you ascribe virtue or some sort of ideology that you can identify with that you think is based in some way on like real stuff to a network, to a television network, I think that is misplaced optimism there. You know what I mean? Almost yeah. every time, you know?
Yeah.
Unless it's a smaller one, you know, or like a publicly funded. But again, even this calls into question like NPR and stuff too. But like, you know, certain smaller ones that can go hard in the paint in their particular direction because they're not beholden to the same, you know, overlords as like a Fox News or a CNN or, you know, MSNBC or whatever it might be.
Yeah. It would be weird if we found out like there was some connection to the CIA with public broadcasting, right? It would just paint
wouldn't
those
put it past him.
It would paint those pledge drives in a different light for me. Like, oh, that's weird. Okay. What is that for then? Whoa, all right. Whatever.
It'd be funny too if all of a sudden your pledge drive reward started becoming like invisible ink pens and like spy craft kind of stuff because the CIA was sort of pitching in. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I hope not. I absolutely love PBS and NPR and all those things. So
yeah, it's good stuff. But but it's also, I can see too how folks on the other side think that they're like radical liberals or is a term of abuse, but I can see how, you know, if you don't fall on that side of the fence and you listen to some of these folks, that you could hear a lot of like what you might consider virtue signaling or things that are like totally canceling out your perspective, which to many might be abhorrent. But I can see how that divide is also like fuel for the fire. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I hear you for sure. Well, that is the perspective of Brown Eyed Girl. Why don't you write to us just like that person did to let us know? What do you think about all that? I want to get Ben's perspective as well. So if you're somehow out there in the ether listening, Ben, wherever you may be, we'd love to hear from you on this too. Wait. Oh, he's not coming through right now.
I heard a whoosh. I think I heard a whoosh.
All right.
Hey, hold the phones. Let's take a quick pause for a word from our sponsor, and then we'll come back and resume this fascinating conversation.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes, Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Z
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
And we've returned.
How about we pivot entirely from government conspiracies to allegations of the supernatural variety?
Okay.
Specifically ones tied to religion, spirituality, you know, what you think happens when you die, what is a soul, where the thing that makes you, you, what happens to that when your physical body dies? And we had just some thoughts from Skeeter, who wrote in, Matt, Ben, Noel, Mission Control, and codename Doc Holliday. Hello. Hope everyone is well. Huge fan of the show. I am writing just to share some opinions, thoughts, and theories I have that I feel may interest you. Firstly, I just want to share my personal thoughts on reincarnation. It basically boils down to this. If there is a soul, then it would likely exist as some yet unknown form of energy that is capable of carrying data from one being to another. Now, energy can't, as far as we know, be created or destroyed. So if the soul or some analog of it does exist, then it stands to reason it would follow the same rules. Thus, dying may just be that energy changing forms, and once it has some kind of triggering interaction, it will change forms again and inhabit another object. Now, I will say that this is basically just me trying to reason out how physics could possibly explain both a soul and reincarnation, and this is what I came up with. There's a lot more to it, but I guess you could call this the elevator pitch. A damn fine pitch it is. I've certainly thought about this as well, in terms of like the soul being something that is sort of immeasurable, but you know, we tend scientifically to chalk it up to firing neurons and things that exist in our brain, but yet we really can't find the thing, the center that sort of makes, I mean, we can definitely dissect the brain and find like this is the part of the brain that like, you know, has cognition or whatever, but it's still not the same exactly. It all feels very procedural and kind of mechanical. But the idea of like that thing that makes you, you, this all encompassing oneness that's kind of within you, is it energy? And if it is, then by reason, again, they say energy can't be created or destroyed. Does it go somewhere? I don't know how it would like pop into something else, but it does call into question or bring up the idea of like, where does it go? And do you, presumably you go there with it, but also presumably we need all this equipment that we're endowed with in order to interpret whatever that thing is. So maybe it's just something unknowable. And once it's disconnected from our little skin suits and, you know, brain computers, then it doesn't even know anything anymore, but it still is this like source, you know, I don't know. It's fascinating to me, and it's an interesting boiling down of something that's very complex into like a way of trying to scientifically explain it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It makes me think back to, gosh, it was a long time ago. There was a movie called 21 Grams.
Oh yeah. About what the weight of the soul is. And you know, when you die, supposedly you're like a little lighter or something. Is that sort of the story behind it?
Yeah, well, it goes back to an early experiment. I think it was like 1900s, maybe 1907 or 8 or something like that. But there was an experiment to test if the body loses any mass at the moment of death. And I think it's been a while since I've read up on this, but I know that there was some success, at least according to the people running that experiment. they were saying, the body lost around 21 grams. I forget exactly like what that other measurement is, but it was like 21.3 grams or something like that. And with further information, with knowledge and looking back at the study, the general consensus is that the study itself was very flawed in its methodology and, you know, what it was attempting to prove. But it's a fascinating concept, right? How interesting would it be if that energy that you're talking about, Noel, did physically leave the body? Like, could you measure it? Is there a way? Is it possible?
Yeah. And it also, I immediately just Googled, does energy have weight? And then a physics website, van.physics.illinois.edu, came up with the thing that says a box of light weighs more than an empty box. The reason is that all forms of energy have weight. And again, I'm not a physicist. I'm not a scientist, I'm not a scientist at all. But I'm also seeing some conflicting reports that it says on nrc.gov, which is the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, one form of radiation is pure energy with no weight. This form of radiation, known as electromagnetic radiation, is like vibrating or pulsing, pulsating rays or waves of electrical and magnetic energy. So that would make sense, I guess, that that doesn't have weight because it's just vibrations moving through matter that already exists. But the idea of like certain pure forms of energy or like radiation or whatever, the idea that it has mass is interesting to me. I would like to look more into that, but on a cursory Google, this seems like a smart website. It's in the physics department at UUC seems to think that all forms of energy have weight. So scientists, physicists, particle physicists, theoretical physicists out there, let us know where you fall on that or if there is just a hard and fast answer to that question. But
Noel, when you log into Fortnite, let's say.
Sure.
And you,
which I do clearly on the regular.
Yeah. And you pick up your controller and you inhabit your character. Does your inhabiting of that character, like the model of that character, add any weight to it? Is there an energy flowing through that character that makes it different?
No, that character is an automaton that you are controlling like a puppet based on inputs on a device that are then sending signals to that avatar to make it move. It's not a force within it per se that is like causing neurons to fire and electricity to, but it is kind of too. It's a really, okay,
because
touche. Okay. Yeah.
That avatar is a part of, it is one with the programming of that simulation that is created, right? The simulation itself, as it functions and moves, as the CPU runs and the graphics processing unit and all of those pieces of hardware run inside that simulation, that character is the same as the other pixels that are represented on whatever screen you're playing on. Weird. It's weird to think about, but it is.
What if it's that way with us? It is because also like programming in some ways, if you like look at digital versus analog, like analog electronics, for example, is electricity being manipulated and like, you know, with resistors and things like that, you know, like it's increasing the energy, decreasing. So that's like electricity moving through a system. Obviously, computers and things that we use like PlayStations or whatever to interact with like programming, it has that to a degree as well. But the programming language is more or less a virtual recreation of the way electricity moves and like kind of like inhabits things. So the question is, are those two things completely separate? You've got the programming that's the language that is then being shoved into this device that has all these resistors and circuits and, you know, silicon and whatnot. Does that energy somehow imbue the programming as well? I don't. It's very interesting, Matt. And it really does start to make you think about, is the soul just programming language? Like, are neurons, like, is it like one-to-one kind of, you know?
Or is it an exterior controller of an avatar, right?
Right.
Because
right.
If that were the case, then when your character, I'm trying to think of another game that's a better version of this. Like when your character dies, you just inhabit another character. And I can't think of a good one-to-one there. But there are games like that that exist. You just become a different character, sure, or you get respawned or something. I mean, is it in that same way where it's an exterior force controlling something inside a system, so you could never measure what the soul is? The soul is apart from its exterior of the system itself. It's just manipulating the system and the grid.
Yeah, you're talking about more of like an intelligent design, kind of like prime mover kind of scenario, which I think conflicts in some ways with like Christianity's idea that like we have free will. You know, God made us, but then just kind of set us loose, and we can. So, you know, what you're describing implies that there's some benevolent or malevolent or whatever neutral force that's actually moving us and causing us.
I'm saying you are that thing.
You are that thing to you. Okay. You're right. You're like piloting your own, you know, Gundam or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. right? Okay. Yeah. Then that's the soul. Then that means you are the little guy inside your head that's like, you know, making you do all the things.
But you're not actually a guy. Yeah. You're somewhere else. It's just you're plugged into whatever metaverse device.
Like we're in a jar or something, like, you know, like in a vacuum tube or a light bulb, you know. I mean it's interesting, and we have things like The Matrix and science fiction that obviously really, you know, hit some of this stuff home in really interesting and intelligent ways. And you know, you could be like, oh, that's over the top, but it's not really. If you even think back to like Plato and the illusion of the cave and the idea that we're all fixed looking at shadows on a, you know, on a cave wall, and that we're all just experiencing what's essentially a simulation. There's this really great documentary. I think I mentioned it on the last episode that we did on Infinity. That's on Netflix. I can't remember what it's called, but just look up Infinity documentary. And it just talks about how, you know, the idea of infinity is one thing and physical infinity is another thing. Like the idea of infinity is that things are infinitesimally subdividable, but the reality of it is that that's just not true, because eventually things just start breaking down and breaking up. Like they use the example of cutting a rope in half and then cutting that piece in half and then cutting that piece in half. Eventually the rope starts to untangle or untwine or whatever, and then you've got these other little things that you can then subdivide, and that's obviously where like particle physics and the idea of atoms and the thing, you know. But even back in philosophy, monomes and little, you know, the building blocks of what we are, that's where that all comes into play.
That's a Trip to Infinity on Netflix. Check it out.
It's very good. It's very, very good. I quite enjoyed it.
When with that, we're gonna take a quick break. But don't worry, we'll be right back with more listener mail.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network. Work.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
All right, and we're back. And we did take a short break there, everyone. I just want to let you know, if you're listening out there, we're not sponsored by this group, this company, but Doc Holliday just let us know about this game that's come out, I guess, called Metal Hellsinger. It's like a rhythm game with a FPS. Yes.
Yeah, it's like an FPS Doom-looking rhythm game where I guess you have to get, you know, sort of like those Vocaloid games like Miku, and where you're kind of doing more of like along with a song. But in this one, you're in a 3D, very cool-looking shooter arena. And dude, I guess you chain together hits by shooting targets. And apparently it's got original metal music by like bands like Lamb of God and popular kind of like metal bands.
I'm gonna stop you there, Noel. We are not sponsored by this game or this company.
We literally just heard about it, and it just sounds awesome. And I'm gonna go grab it because I really like rhythm games a lot, and this is a spin on it that I have not heard of before. So,
oh man, get in the game. Is that a thing? All right, here we
get
go.
Get in the zone.
AutoZone.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay. All right. So we are going to jump to a message we received from someone we're going to refer to as Tone. Tone, we are just, you didn't really give us a nickname, but we're going to call you Tone. You know who you are. Let's round robin this one. Okay, Noel, this has got some cool storytelling in it.
Sure.
Here we go. Tone says, "Hey guys, I'd like to preface this email by saying that I normally don't share these types of things with other people. I usually just internalize them and write them off as weird stuff. But I haven't been able to shake what happened and what is happening. I'm hoping that you guys, or maybe a fellow listener, might have some insight into my experience. So right off the bat, Tone is sending a call out to you. Listen to this and let us know what you think, and we can correspond with Tone.
About 5 nights ago, I was in my living room playing PlayStation, perhaps Metal Hellsinger, and generally unwinding from the day. It was about 3 or 4 in the morning. I had the TV muted so I wouldn't disturb my girlfriend or our daughter. The only light in the house was the glow from my TV screen. The only sound was the clicking of the buttons on my controller. Suddenly, a strange tone came from my Wi-Fi router. It wasn't quite a beep, as it wasn't shrill. More like a flat electronic note. I cast my eyes over to the corner where the router is located and thought to myself, weird. I didn't know it could even make noise."
This is Matt's own note. "I didn't know it could either. That's weird. That would be very disturbing." Let's continue. "As soon as I finished that thought, the one about I didn't know it could make noise, my heart started pounding. I began shaking, and I broke into a cold sweat. My vision became tunneled, and my body went into the most primal fight-or-flight response I have ever felt. My head was buzzing, and I jumped up off the couch. I began to look all around me. It's like my body was wholly convinced that something bad was about to happen, that I was in imminent danger."
A note here, this immediately makes me think of what we've talked about with Havana syndrome, you know, the idea that a non, you know, direct source could impact you in such a way.
Mm-hmm. It also reminds me of infrasound.
100%. Yeah. And we are talking about sound, but then also I think Havana syndrome, there was a theory that it was some sort of sonic weapon, right?
Yes, that is a, yeah. Let's, it, yes, hard it has theory.
Been hard, a lot, I mean, you know, we've done updates on that, and a lot of that stuff has been debunked, but when you feel this way and you don't know why, and then you, what we did learn from that is if you either hear it from a colleague that they experienced the same thing, or you immediately associate it with something, it's easy to go down that rabbit hole. That's all I'm saying. So
in,
here we go.
In this case, no matter what, something weird is going on, right?
No question. No question. "Despite my body's response, my thoughts were perfectly clear. I was completely aware that nothing was around me, but I couldn't seem to convince my body of that fact. I had to almost physically fight the impulse to grab one of my firearms. As I stood in the dim glow of the TV, I noticed that my cat, who had been sleeping peacefully on the back of the couch, was now staring at a corner of the room, completely fixated on it."
Whoa. Ooh. Seems like descriptions of some paranormal events that I've heard in the past. And guess what? Guess what Tone says next? My thoughts turned to the paranormal, despite being a relatively skeptical person in that regard. I faced the corner and whispered, "Who's there?" like every bad horror movie protagonist. Nothing happened, and I was just standing in a silent house for the next few minutes. I felt like I was a little kid again, scared of the dark and jumping at shadows, my mind jumping from one scary thought to the next. As my body calmed down, a splitting headache developed. It was so strong that I shut off the PlayStation and went to sleep almost immediately.
Over the next few days, I would try to recall the tone from that night. Whenever I got close to remembering the exact sound, my head would start throbbing again. I did some research on my own over the event and discovered that someone else reported a strange beep from their router back in 2018. The router they listed is the exact same model I have, the HT2000W from HughesNet. I've attached a screenshot of the support thread. The strange thing is that this router is not equipped with speakers of any kind and cannot emit any sound by design. The tech suggests that another device near the router may have made the noise. The only objects near my router are fake houseplants and a cat scratching post. I've searched high and low for anything that could have made the noise, but I can't find a single explanation for it.
I think we found the solution. Your cat planted something inside the scratching post. That's it. Case closed. It was your cat. They're working against you. We've known it all along.
Cats are agents of chaos.
No, but for real, how weird is that? Looked it up, found someone who had noticed something about that exact same router, and then to learn that the router has no physical way of making a sound?
Well, yeah. I mean, to me, my thoughts would immediately go to a frequency being created electronically that would cause something else to vibrate. You know what I mean? Like we know that energy causes vibrations, and you know, if you've ever been in the car or something and you've got a coin in just the right spot, it'll like resonate, you know. Or let's say if you have a window cracked and then another window open, all of a sudden there'll be this whoop, 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 whoop. This is like almost like cycle kind of hum that's created. So, you know, electronics that don't inherently make sound can generate energy that could potentially cause something else to make a sound, because sound is just energy vibrating the air, you know, and objects, you know.
Well, let's go deeper into that. I want to know which PlayStation we're talking about. Was it a PS4? Was it an old PS2? Was it a PS5? Because I have personal experience with a PS4 Pro sounding like an airplane is taking off in my living room when I'm playing.
Yeah, probably because of the hard drive. Probably, no. Well, those are solid state drives, so they don't have a
because of the fans.
Head.
Because it's of the fans. The fans. That's right. That's working right. Yeah. Super overtime trying to cool the machine down, and it's just so loud, it's deafening. And it can
create an enclosed space, and it's probably causing other bits inside of the thing to vibrate and create like a cacophonous kind of sound.
And depending on what that device is sitting on, it can change that. And depending on the shape of your room and the objects that are in your room where you're using a machine like that, it can cause standing waves that are very strange, and they sound like they're being emitted from other parts of your house.
Well, the thing that's interesting about standing waves, and I think I've let my, you know, acoustic music producer freak flag fly plenty lately, but standing waves are a thing that acoustic treatment in studio spaces are really supposed to prevent. People often get it confused that like, oh, people are putting up acoustic treatment or trying to soundproof a space. That's not what they're trying to do. They're trying to limit reflections of sounds that are bouncing all over the room, because if you're trying to mix something on like studio monitors and get an accurate sound, and you have all these standing waves, which are typically very low frequencies, they can build up in corners. It is going to literally affect your ability to hear accurately. Yep. And they can do weird stuff by like interacting with each other and creating tones in the music you're hearing that don't exist, that like aren't there. You're hearing false harmonics being generated by standing waves interacting with the space of your room or whatever, your untreated room.
Which is exactly what I think is happening. I think it was a PS4. I think it was sounding crazy loud, and Tone didn't even notice how loud it was because you just kind of tune it out after you're used to doing it. And especially
then it created a new sound.
Well, I think something changed in the room, like with just placement or whatever, or they were playing a game or something that required, you know, more from the GPU or CPU where it's running even harder. What do you think, Noel?
I just want to add, he's listening with the sound on mute.
Yes.
And maybe he does this often, but maybe this was an unusual thing where he was like, okay, I'm going to play late tonight. Mm-hmm. He didn't have his headphones. You know, a lot of gamers mm-hmm. that play late, they'll have like maybe something. He was like, I'm just going to do it mute. So he was way more exposed to the ambient surroundings of his room than he would if he was blasting, you know, the sound bar or whatever, you know, like on whatever game he was playing. And I think you're dead right, because when you treat a room acoustically, if you move stuff around, even if you move equipment around, it can change the whole tuning of the room. So you have to be very careful about that. Like, acousticians will be like, yeah, if you move one thing, you need to take new measurements. There are these like devices that will measure those kind of standing waves you're talking about, or those reflections. And if you move a big thing like a couch, for example, that's truly changing the way sound is moving around in that room, that can throw the whole thing out of whack.
Yes. And this is, of course, an extremely skeptical take on the whole situation. We want to hear what you think. Maybe we're...
It goes on beyond this, though, in the next bit.
That's exactly like,
other odd things that... So we don't mean to debunk this right off the bat.
No,
because,
this is just a potential idea for the tone itself, right? That's it.
Yep.
But tone continues.
Stranger still, when I opened my laptop today to send this email, my Microsoft BitLocker had been activated as if someone had tried to access my hard drive. I hadn't turned on my laptop since before the night of the noise. So that's interesting. And also, this sounds like a person that knows about IT and knows about, you know, tech. And like, I don't even know what Microsoft BitLocker is, but it doesn't seem like a standard. It's probably a PC user, but it's something that's going to limit, you know, access. It's like a privacy thing or a firewall thing of some kind that probably lets you know if any suspicious, you know, activity has taken place or if anyone's tried to access your computer. But also, I'm no hacker here, but like, isn't that really hard to do if the computer's powered off?
I'm so sorry, I'm out of my depth here, but BitLocker is something that has been a part of, my understanding is it was a part of Windows Defender. That was like the internal, you know, the built-in security system that comes with any Microsoft device.
That sometimes are a little, you know, overly robust, let's just say, and can like cause your stuff to like slow down, like, you know, so at least in the early days.
Yeah, but it is something that would get engaged if someone was going through the router, right? Through the modem into the router, going into the system.
But when it's shut down, though, like... I don't know. It's sort of the same as like having your cell phone turned off. Like if it's turned off, there's no Wi-Fi going into it. Like unless there's a mode that I'm not aware of, if there's a hard wire, but like if it's shut down, it may as well be off the grid to my understanding. Maybe not though. Please, again, computer security experts out there, let us know. Can you access a computer that's not in sleep mode? Now, sleep mode's different, but if it's actually hard shut off, you know, I know there are ways of accessing like secondary boot screens that, you know, there's like a battery inside, like a CMOS battery that there's still something going on in the computer, even if it's shut down.
Yeah.
But it seems like it would take like some serious access to be able to do something when a computer's not open and vulnerable and on the net.
Yeah. Look, I certainly don't know enough on my own. That's why we need your help. Again, calling out to you. Help us. Let's figure this thing out. Let us know. We're going to continue a little bit more. These events might be completely unrelated, but at the risk of sounding like a tinfoil hat nutcase, I believe someone is attempting to spy on me. Months prior to this, I was contacted by the FBI. Because I was in several, quote, Liberty Facebook groups in 2020 and 2021. I was just there for the spicy memes, but some of the other members were supposedly plotting some things against Big Brother. The agent on the phone brought up my prior military status and my MOS in signals intelligence. He wanted to make sure I wasn't using my old clearance level to assist a possible terrorist plot. I, of course, denied any involvement, and he seemed to be satisfied, but I feel like I'm definitely on some type of government watch list now.
During my research into the router, I also learned that a few MIT students were able to prove that Wi-Fi routers can be used to remotely detect how many people are inside of a room at any given time.
What?
Oh, that's interesting. And I want to bring up something in a minute related to this. There was, however, no mention of a noise being emitted from the routers, let alone a noise that could elicit a response like the one I felt. I'm at a loss. What type of noise could cause headaches, irrational fear, and paranoia in an instant? Who tried to access my hard drive? Are these connected to the FBI? Thank you for reading my long-winded email. I apologize if it jumped around or was hard to... I mean, I'm not even going to read that because this was great. So there was seemingly a silly story about how the album or the song Rhythm Nation by Janet Jackson was causing people's hard drives to seize up. Like there was something in the sound of the way that record was mastered or produced or whatever that was causing certain models of like Hewlett Packard laptops to like seize up and like, you know, just totally choke.
What?
So that's the opposite of what we're talking about here. But I will say that it does lead me to believe that sound and all the things we were talking about before, frequencies, resonant frequencies, vibrations, they can move things physically. They can cause things to happen, especially if they're just in tuned correctly, whether by accident or on purpose, with another thing.
Yeah.
That's what resonant frequencies are. Like they communicate and they can cause things, you know, it's like when an opera singer can break a wine glass with their voice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of MIT students being able to prove that Wi-Fi routers can be used to remotely detect how many people. So to me, that is measuring, that's like triangulation. That's like using it as sonar or something. It's like basically, that's my guess, is that it's taking some sound or something that it's putting out there and like triangulating and getting a sense of the space and where it's being taken up and creating some sort of image, like a sonar image would, where it shows you the negative space and the positive spin. I don't know. It's just
I don't know either, but it's worth us looking into deeper. I think just that concept that you could use a device like that that theoretically shouldn't have that capability, but it does.
I'm going to be a nerd for one more second, then I'm going to shut up. You know that the difference between a microphone and a speaker are just like the directions of the wiring.
Yeah.
You can turn a microphone into a headphone and a speaker into a microphone just by like reversing the polarity of the wiring. I mean, again, something maybe more complex than that, but it's really, there's very little difference between a microphone and a speaker.
Have you ever experimented turning a speaker into a microphone?
No, but I'd like to. And once I get my garage, not a total hellscape, I would like to do things like that and like circuit bending and things. But yeah, you can literally turn, a lot of people do. They take like a woofer from a monitor speaker and they'll reverse the wire and turn it into a microphone that picks up low frequencies on like a kick drum really well.
Ooh.
So it's like, it's really interesting. Like the difference, like people get so hung up on sound being this magical thing, but it really is just a very analog, like it's like, you know, things vibrating things. That's all sound is, literally.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Wow.
And maybe it vibrates your freaking cerebellum and makes you go insane. Like I'm saying, if something was tuned to such a frequency that, like, again, you know, it would take very precise engineering to do that, but I don't think our skulls aren't that thick. Low frequency waves can carry through walls, brick, you know, I mean, they move through things. They move through material.
Yeah. We know that infrasound is probably the best candidate for many ghost encounters, the feelings of ghost encounters, right? We've talked about that before. There's a whole episode. You can look it up, Ghosts and Infrasound. Check it out. Wow. Tone, I'm not sure what to say. Check your PlayStation. I'm telling you, clean that thing. It doesn't matter. It's not going to help if it's a PS4. It doesn't matter how much you clean it. It's still going to sound like an airplane taking off in your living room. Yeah. I hope everything works out with the whole, quote, Liberty Facebook groups and the FBI.
Well, and just a quick second, not to throw Tone under the bus, but I mean, there certainly was a time, you know, in meme culture, like even in like a lot of this alt-right kind of stuff where the alt-right was essentially putting out memes that were seemingly innocuous and kind of funny, that it would be very easy for someone that doesn't have that ideology to just like repost and think was funny. But it was their way of spreading like a, you know, a seed of propaganda. So no, you know, if this person is being honest, which I believe they are, it's certainly a very reasonable thing that could have happened. To like, I follow tons of Facebook groups just for the memes, and I'm sure that if you looked at my list, one of them probably has some stuff on it that isn't great, you know, if I like really paid attention to it all the time, you know. So just yeah. Saying.
We also know that recently the FBI has upped their efforts to monitor the same kinds of groups. So you may really be on a list. Somebody may really be watching your stuff. But if you're not doing anything, maybe it'll be okay. It's still not a great feeling, is it?
No, it's not. But I've always felt that way, where it's like, if at the end of the day I am actually not part of a terrorist cell or like a, you know, a domestic terrorist group, think of all the things that we look up, man, for this show. You don't think that somewhere along the line, because of research we've done or search terms we've entered, that we've kicked up some red flag? Somewhere along the line.
Oh, we certainly have. Yeah.
I'm just saying, it's the same, same deal.
Yeah. Weird stuff. Hey, what are your thoughts? You can find us all over the place. We're on the internet, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. We are Conspiracy Stuff. Make sure you go over to YouTube/Conspiracy Stuff. You can feel weird while you watch us talk and do these episodes.
It's like, it's just how we feel when we do the show. We feel weird watching and listening to us talk, but please do that. And also you can go to Instagram, where we've been posting some fun memes and videos and things like that, where you can also see our dumb mugs, and that is at Conspiracy Stuff Show.
And we have a phone number. You can call with your phone, 1-833-STDWYTK. When you do call in, leave a voicemail. It's a voicemail system. Give yourself a cool name. We don't care what it is. That'll just help us remember you next time you call in. And let us know if we have permission to use your voice and message on the air. In that voicemail, you'll have 3 minutes. It's a hard stop at 3 minutes. So if you've got more to say than can fit in there, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network. Work.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch, so you can be confident in the safety and quality. visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.